This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
In the words of Matsuo Basho, a famous Japanese poet, each day is a journey, and the journey itself is home. Aotearoa is an immigrant nation. From the first peoples to colonial settlement, we have crossed the oceans to see this place and call this place home. Immigrant Journeys reveals the rich diversity that our most recent immigrants bring to Aotearoa, New Zealand. Through their different skills, cultural backgrounds, and experiences, they strengthen and add immense value to this country. Welcome to their journeys.
I'm Ollie Ricken, and I'm originally from Germany, and I'm very happy to be here.
Happy to be here. How long have you been here?
I've been here 19 and a half years, coming up 20 years this December.
So what does that mean for you? Are you the Kiwi German? Are you a Kiwi? Is this home?
It's very much home. And I love it here, and I loved it from when I just set foot into the airport 19 years ago. And I thought, this is where I want to be. I hadn't even seen anything of the country. I just had this feeling, this is where I want to be. And so I stayed. I was meant to come for a year. So
that change from Germany to New Zealand, was that easy? Was it hard? What were the pain points?
It was really easy because I came here to do a year of circus school away from where I was teaching circus to youth in Germany, and I wanted to get away from teaching, and I wanted to go to learning for myself, taking a year off, just learning, studying professional development. And it was after my university years in Germany and after my working in Germany as a performer and as a youth circus teacher.
So, circus performer and youth teacher, those two are connected for you. What was the attraction?
Well, they are, because circus is an incredibly creative endeavour, but it's also a very physical endeavour and an expressive endeavour, and it ticks a lot of boxes. So if you take a circus project into schools, for example, a lot of kids find their niche within the different things that you can do at circus. So already at university, I wrote my thesis about the benefits of circus in youth development. And I started teaching when I was myself still learning. But then all my later school life and my university life led to using theatre, pedagogy, psychology, building it up, learning how people learn. I'm fascinated by how people learn and how differently they learn. I wasn't good at school. School was a total waste of time for me. If I had been allowed to learn in a different way rather than just listening and watching and reading, I would have probably found my passions way earlier. And when I taught people, I then could apply different ways of teaching, allowing all the senses to be engaged in the learning. And circus was one of those outlets that had so many skills involved. So you have your balancing skills. So you have your circus skills, juggling, coordination skills, skills that you do by yourself, like having a diabolo, or then you have balancing skills on the tightrope, on a walking globe, on stilts, on a slack rope, on a roller bowler, whatever. Then you have your acrobatic skills, and you have partner acrobatics, or you flip yourself through the air, or you hang from a trapeze and do amazing things. So you have all these different things. But then you have the creative aspect of not just having the physical prowess to do something, but create something with it. So you learn a trick, but you make it so it gets interesting for someone else to watch. And then you have, in a whole circus performing, you have a whole, you have your sound people, you have your, like in theatre, your tech people, you have people who create props or create a background, create costumes, and so a whole lot of make music for the show or for your specific act. So a lot of skills go into this one medium of circus. And yeah, I got really passionate about that, didn't I? And I left it behind.
Why did you leave it behind?
I was working at Circo Art, and I was working for Hagley, and I was performing, and I was working for Clown Doctors in New Zealand. And at the time of the earthquakes, it was kind of this thing where we lost the whole infrastructure for that temporarily. And I had a team of people, and we would ship the gear, like have it in our cars and stuff, ship it to a community center and have some students there that would come back or new ones. But it was really hard because neither of us, I didn't have a home for a long time after the earthquakes. And so it was quite a logistic endeavor to keep going without the building at the Polytech of Circo Arts. And yeah.
Do you ever stop being a clown at heart, though?
No. No. You're a clown at heart or not, kind of thing. I think. I mean, you learn a lot. And I learned clowning in Germany and in Hungary. And I had a private Russian teacher in Germany who taught me in his home. And he was just a guest in a home. He came from Russia and was trying to make money, and he was just this amazing guy who used to be a clown. Well, who was a clown and who started teaching me. And I used to follow another clown around when I was still in school and just watched all his performances and learned as much as I could. And then, yeah.
I'm wondering, listening to you, if there isn't an amazing gift that laughter is a connector that transforms,
yes,
and is able to rise above all our differences.
Oh, absolutely. It's when the humanity gets spoken to, the values or the whatever makes us human and whatever all humans can relate to. That's when humour becomes universal, when we get away from sarcastic or ironic or very specific, targeted humour, to things that move as well as delight us, that's when it gets really interesting.
What do you think it was about you growing up that made you want to gift laughter to others?
Because in our household it was always used to hurt.
And in so many households.
It is, but in Germany, this humour is so sharp-witted, and I learned that, and I alienated many people with that, especially when I came to New Zealand. And I wish I could say that again without crying. I had a virus when I was younger. I missed a whole year of school. Because of being in bed and everyone calling me lazy, and I couldn't get out of bed and I had no idea what it was. And it was a virus that they didn't quite know about or wasn't easily detected. But anyway, so I had a lot of spells in my life where I was quite unable to do as I wanted to, where doctors told me I could never do circus or circus school, and doctors told me I could never have a kid and all these kind of things. And I've done all of these things. I have a beautiful child, and I was thinking, if I figure out how to heal and how to make things work, I would love to pass that on. I don't want anyone being in really dark places by themselves without help or without being taken seriously or acknowledged.
This is an extraordinary gift you're giving. So how are you doing that?
My life's always been about learning about how we take, how we work, how we learn, how we overcome things, how the brain works, how our psychology works. And I've done different courses that that now I can facilitate different methods of healing and rearranging the brain pathways and transforming trauma into goodness, overcoming things, overcoming depression, those kind of things.
For a city that has been through so many different things, this is something that is so needed. Yeah. In a simple way, what advice would you give to someone who has faced trauma, who's in a dark place?
There is help, and there are people who will just help you find your own way, because we can only heal ourselves, but quite often we need the space held for it and some guidance on how can we get footing again when it's been so, when we couldn't physically work, or, you know, it's like, where could we get the goodness? Where can we connect to the goodness again? And I see clients and help them how. And it's just wonderful to do that and be able to, I can help you with this now. And I know you can do it because you're awesome. And you know how to do it if you get little nudges of here and there. And where you, that launch you up into a spiral of goodness rather than a spiral of, I don't know where to turn anymore, or, yeah.
I wonder how much of that is about inner voice and the way we talk to ourselves.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Changing that is one of the first things. Scanning for the good. Okay, here's something. If you have a ache or pain in your hand, say, where's your attention when you close your eyes and turn into your body? It's here, but all this feels great. But you don't feel it so much because it's much more subtle. The pain is the one that's the strongest voice in your body and the strongest signal. And start scanning for all the places that are good first.
And you can take that from the individual to community,
absolutely,
to society,
absolutely,
to how we see each other.
Absolutely. And see what connects us, not what kind of eyebrows you have or ears or whatever it is, or what clothes you wear, or... Yeah, get to the core.
Seeing beyond labels.
Yep. Connecting with the light in each of us. Connecting with the love in each of us.
You're not a German immigrant. You're Ollie, who's lived an extraordinary life and is giving things to others because of that life.
I hope so.
You love your dogs.
Yeah, I do. Oh my goodness, don't get me started on dogs, because that starts in an equally sad place. We had a dog that, oh God, here I go again. We had a dog who's now dead, who was so terrified. He got given after the earthquakes to my husband, who I didn't know then. And for the rest of his life, he was so terrified he couldn't be contained in a house. We have the nice wall painted because he chewed himself through the door frame. He would be a dog that other people would have just given up on, put down. My husband, it's not in his values to put down a dog. And it's in my values to do whatever. And I thought, okay, I can do that with love and intuition. I learned more and more about dogs. And I learned and I learned. And then last year, I started a course during lockdown on the internet. And then I thought, okay, that's what I want to do. I just want to learn as much as I can. And I did. And I took this dog from being a shaking mess to gaining trick dog titles, because that's something we could do at home. We could teach him tricks. And he loved it because he was safe here, reasonable. And so then I learned more and became a dog trainer. And now I would love to just inspire people with all the circus skills I have, with the clowning skills I have, with the NLP skills I have, and to help owners have really joyful relationships with their dogs and help owners along the way to do the best for their dogs, and in a really fun way, playing games, learning through games, building concepts in the brain, reshaping brain pathways in dogs.
Neuroplasticity for dogs and humans.
Neuroplasticity for dogs and humans, that's right. And isn't it amazing that we have this amazing ability to change our brain, our neurology? It's just amazing. So change can be quite easy when you know how. I didn't. I don't know. I just struggled all the way along until I kind of found out and know. And now it's like...
So now you're a sharer of hope.
Yes. And quick changes.
Immigrant Journeys is an original idea of Lady Khadija Charitable Trust, which has been made possible by the efforts of Telling Lives and Janet Gill Photography. The project has been funded by the Ministry of Ethnic Communities and RADA Foundation. To see the videos of these stories, go to immigrantjourneys.org.nz.